Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack, supporting the circular economy and reducing the impact of packaging on the environment.
Now, in the Green Scene today, the recovery of the European grey wolf and the quest to recreate the extinct dire wolf. That's familiar from Game of Thrones, I think you'll probably remember. But firstly, the truly extraordinary caterpillar bone collector. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
The bone collector.
So this is an incredibly unusual caterpillar. So when we think of caterpillars, we think of a sort of benign little green fellow maybe munching on a leaf. But this is a very, very different kettle of fish when it comes to caterpillars. And it's a caterpillar that has just been described for the first time and in a really important study in the journal Science. And it's a moth caterpillar, and it belongs to a lineage of moths that is found on the Hawaiian island of Oahu. And it's the only place this caterpillar has been identified. So people from the University of Hawaii have been out studying this for more than 2 decades. And this caterpillar is part of a sort of family of caterpillars, and they're called the fancy case caterpillars because they sort of create a little protective case around themselves. And they other types of caterpillar, they decorate this case with things like leaves, maybe bits of sand. But this one lives in only very particular niches, and it cohabits with spiders. So it lives in places where there's webs, like old logs that are decaying, dark corners and crevices. And what it does, of course, you could imagine, what it does is it feeds off the bits of meat and things that the spider leaves behind.
So it's not eating leaves. It's not a vegetarian.
No, it's a carnivore, which is very, very unusual. But of course, the spider might quite like to eat it.
Yeah.
So to protect itself, it decorates its fancy case with the body parts of other creatures.
So the fancy case subgroup of caterpillars, they decorate themselves anyway, but this is the bone collector.
This is the bone collector.
Body parts.
Body parts. So things like ant heads, beetle carapaces, flies' wings, and it will bite these things down to make them an appropriate size, to make the appropriate decoration on its case. And we usually only find one of these critters per spider web. And in fact, if they encounter another bone collector spider, they will eat it, they will attack it, they're cannibals, and they may take those parts and add it to its own collection on its fancy case as well. They will eat their own. And of course, because it essentially, I mean, to a spider, it's a bag of garbage. It's a bag of stuff that's been thrown away. So the spider does not appear interested in eating it at all. And in fact, in all of this study, they've never seen a spider try to attack one of these. It just sort of sits there in the web, and it can pick up the things that the spider leaves behind, or the spider doesn't get too quick
enough. So it obviously
enough.
Emanates a smell or something that the spider gets and says, no, no, no.
It does. It'll emanate a smell and maybe even a taste if something comes over and tries to attack it. I mean, they're tiny, these little things. They're only a couple of millimetres long. And the little moth that comes out of them is even smaller again. So this is all sort of horror at a micro scale that's going on in the web.
Now, we want to talk about wolves because the recreation of the dire wolf is something that has been in the news. Mm. But the question has been raised, is it really a dire wolf? And also, the wolf population around Europe has been increasing.
Yeah, the wolf population has really rebounded quite successfully. So in some ways, you could argue these are two success stories about bringing back keystone species. So actually, in 2022, the grey wolf population in Europe increased by 60%. So there's over 20,000 wolves in Europe now. And they're mostly in countries like Italy, Romania, Bulgaria, Spain.
And just to describe the life of the grey wolf, what would they normally eat? What would they normally do? How do they contribute to the whole ecosystem?
I mean, obviously they're pack animals. Many of us will have seen them in wildlife programs, and they are predators. They're large carnivorous predators, so they will predate on things like deer. But of course now, you know, Europe is transformed by farming, and this is, I suppose, the issue that's arising, because they will hunt deer, hunt sheep, hunt goats. So really conflict is arising now, as the success story on one hand with the conservation happens. You know, we have farmers and others saying we are coexisting with these animals. And in fact, that's what the study is showing us when we look at European populations. Yes, they are in the remote areas, in mountains and in forests where we'd expect them. But more and more now, we're finding wolves in areas where humans also live. So if you imagine kind of a square kilometre with 95 humans living in it, mm-hmm. that's not a very highly densely place, but it's reasonable.
Yeah.
And we are finding wolves in those kind of spaces as well. So I think we need to think now about how do we coexist with these large predators.
So if they're doing a service, you know, there would be an argument, say, bringing them down to Killarney National Park where they have to cull the deer yeah. regularly. And to have a predator that would do it and keep the whole thing in balance, that'd be fine as long as the predator didn't wander out and take the local sheep as well.
Well, I think that's the challenge that Europe is facing. And I mean, interestingly, so the Europe has been a kind of strictly protected species, but now there's talk of downgrading its protection status to just protected. And some countries do cull their wolves. In fact, interestingly, Ursula von der Leyen lost her pony about 3 years ago to a wolf in northern Germany. So, you know, these are real, people are really coming into contact with these as issues. But big predators are a critical part of healthy ecosystems. And we've talked about wolves as one of the key species to capture carbon, because if you have a healthy ecosystem, overall it keeps more carbon in the earth and you know, in the forest. So it's a conversation we need to have quite seriously. And you know, while 20,000 sounds like a lot of wolves, I mean, there's 45 million humans living in Europe
in
the same space. So, you know, relatively speaking, the numbers are small and they are critical. I mean, in Spain, in the Pyrenees, we see that they hunt things like wild boar, and they will often get the weakest wild boar. And some of those have diseases that they would be transmitting around. And so yes, big predators.
So they have a function.
They absolutely do. And they.
Wasn't Eamon Ryan talking about reintroducing the wolf here?
There has been talk about reintroducing the wolf in Ireland. And there were wolves in Ireland hundreds of years ago. I think Cromwell put a bounty on wolves and that pretty much got rid of them. But we need to have conversations here about how we're going to manage them. Because, yes, there is arguments. I mean, deer populations are a problem. But if we bring them back in, we need to understand what kind of fencing are we going to use? Yeah. How are we going to protect?
And of course, the Ireland of the Wolf was a very forested place, which it ain't anymore.
Absolutely. So we would need to think about how they would live if they were here.
Now, talk to me about the dire wolf and the controversy surrounding the recreation, so-called, of that dire wolf.
Yeah, so not hundreds of years ago, but thousands and millions of years ago, dire wolves roamed the earth. So they were like a modern grey wolf, but they were much bigger, large heads, large teeth, and as you said, kind of made famous through the Games of Thrones books. But Colossus Biosciences, that have talked about bringing back the mammoth and the dodo, were focused on bringing back these wolves. So they actually got some sequence from a 13,000 year, some genetic sequence from a 13,000 year old dire wolf tooth and a skull that was over 70,000 years old. So they managed to extract fragments of DNA, and they compared the genes of the dire wolf with the genes of the modern grey wolf. And they found differences in 14 genes that they felt were linked to things like this big head mm-hmm. and the thicker coat and the fur. And they edited the genes of a grey wolf to match these characteristics. They then made an egg cell. They used a dog's cell, and they've actually got live pups now. And so they're saying they've recreated the dire wolf. There's some scientists that are saying, well, no, you've modified a grey wolf to give it some characteristics that would have been like that of the dire wolf. But as you say, it certainly hit the headlines. It's got people talking. But I think, you know, I wonder, is that the real conversation that we need to have about wolves? Because really, it's the first conversation, which is how do we protect the species that's here and how do we create a situation where they can exist and we can exist together? But it's interesting science.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack, supporting the circular economy and reducing the impact of packaging on the environment.